Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the Ween Dog.
What's up, dude?
We got a great show today. We got Nick Lentz. We're going to talk to him, as well as Julian Marquez, the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's going to be a good show. Trust me on this. I want to thank Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and you should not have to leave your house to get it. You want a pizza? You got it delivered. You want Chinese food? You got it delivered. You want I don't know, other things you get delivered, okay?
Hookers.
So, hookers, well, hopefully you're not getting hookers. But marijuana is a great way to relax. It's a great way to feel better. It's a great way to just take it easy, okay? It's great if you have, cancer and this and that, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So get it delivered at speedweed.com. Go to speedweed.com. Go to @speedweed on Twitter. They sent me all kinds of stuff. We have cannabis, medicinal cannabis chocolates. They now have this thing called Velvet Swing. It's a sexual lubricant.
Are you serious?
For romance, designed for women, for everybody. I guess, yes, you could actually helps make orgasms longer.
What?
Yes, for women. We have joints. We have Cali Bombay CD. All kinds of stuff. Marijuana. I'm telling you. Flower, vapes. You name it, they got it, okay? And I can't wait to put this all over my... Well, my wife's pregnant, so I got to look this up. But I can't wait to, after she gives birth, to put that Velvet Swing cannabis all over that vagina.
Yeah.
And just rock on.
Yeah.
Go to speedweed.com. The guy's name is Gino. He's a really, really nice guy, and he's good people. And listen, you go to a dispensary, you got to go check in, people have to see you, they judge you. You know, sometimes they want you to taste stuff. All of a sudden, there's some hot bud tender there, you smoke, and now you can get a DUI. You can crash your car. Gas is expensive. There's all kinds of bad things that could happen. Don't leave your house. Don't leave your apartment. Don't leave your workplace. Get it delivered. Go to speedweed.com. Also, people, sexual performance issues, more common than you think, okay? Listen to Ween Dog. Every single time he has some kind of sexual performance issue, right? Over 25% of erectile dysfunction cases are guys under the age of 40, okay? You think it's just an old-time thing. Oh, I'll be 90. No. Okay, and 40% of men age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. No, De Niro can't fake a boner. All right, if you have one or you don't. And then what do guys? They turn to weird solutions and do nothing, and they can just turn to medicine and science. Mm-hmm. Here's a solution, people. Go to 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, ED can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you combat erectile dysfunction. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. Listen, one ED pill with a V just came off a patent on December 11th. It's a game changer. No waiting room. No awkward doctor visits, no lines. You could save hours by going to 4hims.com. It is so easy. Just answer a few quick questions. Chat with the doctor for confidential review. And the products are shipped directly to your door. Another way to save time and energy. And severe ED isn't just an issue for old guys in bathtubs. It affects men in their 30s and 40s. Being your best means performing your best. No in-person doctor visits. Not anymore. It's erectile without the dysfunction. Hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. That was a great Scarface impression. So try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5. We'll surprise last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you were to go to the doctor or the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAroasted. That's forhims.com/MMAroasted. 4hims.com/MMAroasted. I recently, like last week, this guy gave me a Viagra, a comic. He's like, "Hey, try a Viagra tonight."
Wow, okay.
So I took like half of it, but then before that, I got stoned after the show. So I was like it was like really good weed. It just knocked me out, and now I'm just sleeping all night with a boner.
Wow, that's like me every night, dude.
That's not good.
The thing that terrifies me most about those boner pills is like, I don't want to be the dude who's like has to go to the doctor because my erection has lasted longer than 4 hours.
I know. It's like, if you left, call the doctor 4 hours. Like, no. Call all your exes if your boner lasts over 4 hours.
Because then when that happens, you gotta go to the doctor and he has to drain your dick with the needle. He has to drain all the blood out of your dick, dude.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, he has to drain the blood out.
How do you know?
I don't know. One time I did find my dad's Viagra pills, dude. That was
really?
One of the most traumatic experiences of my life. He He just left them hanging around in the bathroom. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it says Viagra clear on
it. Oh, God. That is kind of embarrassing. But I had a crazy weekend. Want to hear about my weekend?
Hell yeah, dude.
I'll tell you about it, man. So I got a call to go to Colorado Springs. No, not Colorado Springs. I was in Grand Junction, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a theater on 420. Place holds 1,500 people, right? Like Weird Al Yankovic is there next week, and Ron White, and like all these like these big time comics, right? Uh-huh. And so I there was about a couple hundred people there, but they were fun, but they were so happy that I was there. They thought they could just talk to me. It was one of those things where like some guys tried to heckle me, like, "Hey, how's it going, buddy?"
Like during the show.
During the show, but I was having fun with it. But it became like it became like a fucking town meeting. Like I'm up there, but it was good. I did an hour and 20 minutes.
Damn.
I had a really fun time. The guy before me, they hired this guy who he was a funny comic, but he was doing a lot of impressions of like stuff that like I like Gunsmoke, like shows that aren't on the air anymore. He was doing like Richard Nixon, but some of the crowd really liked it because they were alive during that, like Jimmy Carter. I was like, Jesus Christ, but it was good. It was a fun show. My wife came with me. The next day, we go to the fights because this kid Andrew, Andrew Yates was fighting. Andrew Yates' dad, they kind of run the promotion together. It's called Cage Wars, and Andrew Yates is a good fighter, really good fighter. He's you know, trained over at Vanderlei. He's got a record of like 12-3. And he was fighting this guy who used to be his teacher, like his first MMA coach ever. Mm-hmm. And the whole town was there. They were all at the fights. And it was funny. It was actually some really good fights. Andrew won. But like during intermission, like I'm there with the wife. We're in the front row. We're having the great time. Like, hey, do you mind doing comedy during intermission? I'm like, in the cage? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, that wasn't what I was. I'm like, all right, sure, fuck it. You know, they hired me. So luckily there was a fight between a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But
MMA
like,
fight?
No, MMA. No, it was a kickboxing, but it was an exhibition.
Okay.
But the 15-year-old was like 30 pounds heavier than 12-year-old and like 3 feet taller. And he just kicked the crap out of the 12-year-old. It wasn't even close. The 12-year-old had a heart, but Jesus. So then I go in there and I'm like, they wanted me to interview the kids afterwards. And I'm like, listen, is this even legal? I'm calling child services. Who sanctioned this? I told the little kid, you need to get on steroids. Call Phil Baroni. It was just a whole. And then I started doing my act. And people were like, some people were laughing, and people were like, get back to the fights. It was kind of like, remember when Borat did that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was fun, though. Yeah. It was fun. So Yates, this guy came after Yates. Yates already beat the guy in a kickboxing match, but the guy, like, took him down, but Yates put him in a triangle and then just elbowed the fuck out of the guy's temple till the guy tapped.
Oh, my God.
But I was worried. The guy was landing some leather on Andrew, but he won. Hopefully, he'll make the UFC now. And or the Contender Series. There were some good fights. There was one girl that was 1-7 fighting a librarian. There were a lot of amateur fights. I said the librarian, her name should be, I told you her nickname should be Shh. So she went in. Then there was another Mexican guy, some guy used to bully the other kid in high school, and now this was like the rematch. It was a lot of amateur fights, but they were fun. They were
That's
fun
awesome,
to watch.
Dude.
And then Tony Diaz won, who's I guess like Nick Diaz's cousin. He's like the fourth Diaz or something.
His claim to fame is I'm related to Diaz.
Yeah, and he fought a guy whose nickname was the Fruit Ninja. And he was a vegan, okay. And he wore these like leopard tidy whities. And Diaz won, but the Fruit Ninja was pretty good. He actually had what's the name of his corner? The guy who tapped Chael Sonnen 3. The guy's record is like 97-30. Jeremy Horn was there.
Jeremy Horn,
who's like a all time legend. So it was a fun weekend. I had a great time. I had a great time.
This is in Colorado.
This is in Colorado. So that was cool. How was your weekend?
I went camping, dude. I went camping down in like Marietta, which is like it's like 2 hours south of Los Angeles.
Where'd
not too
with?
Far. My brother-in-law's family. They had a comedy club down there, Aces. You ever performed at Aces?
Yeah.
They closed it down though.
Yeah.
But I was able to watch the fights out there. We're like on the top of this mountain, like this hill. It's all green hills, and we luckily had like somehow got reception. And we were able to watch the fights on this TV on the RV. It was one of the most enjoyable UFC events I've ever watched.
Well, let's talk about that. You know. So Kevin Lee, by the way, Kevin Lee, who I texted and called, has not returned my phone call or text.
Not, mine too, dude. What the hell?
All of a sudden, we had Kevin Lee on back when no one was talking to him, back when nobody was like, whatever. Now Kevin Lee is a huge star, and I haven't got a text back or a call back. I'm not saying, okay, I'm not going there yet. I'm still a Kevin Lee fan and a friend. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that you did Brendan Schaub's show, you did Rogan's show, you did this show. I mean, you did my neighbor's show. My dog had a show. You did his fucking show. I mean, you did Aaron Weinbaum's show. I mean, you're doing everyone's fucking show.
He's going to be on Ween Dog Radio tomorrow.
Ween Dog Radio. He did fucking Dana Unleashed show. He did Ally Quinta's fake profile show. But he has yet to call me back. Like, thanks, man. Another one of these fucking guys, man. Like, I'm with these guys who get day one. And then they fucking make it. And I don't get a text back, you know, but whatever. All right, I'm not taking a purse. I'm not salty, okay?
I'd give it like a 2-week grace period. Yeah. Like, once you come off a big fire like that, I heard him talking about on Ariel's podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's of course you have. Forgot. That's of one course you forgot. Have, of course.
Where he said he didn't sleep for like the first like 2 days after the fight.
Oh, well, and, I'm really happy for him. Happy that see if Ariel's on his fucking, see if Kevin Lee in 5 years, Ariel gives a fuck about him. Let's see if Ariel will get him on his show after he loses a fight or two. I'll be here, motherfucker, okay? I'll be here to get you on when you're up, when you're down. We'll see how much Ariel fucking Helwani gives a fuck about you guys when all of a sudden everyone's not up your ass. Ariel Helwani is that kid in high school who wants to sit at the popular table so fucking bad, but he's not popular, but he just brown noses everyone who's fucking popular. Mm-hmm. But all, you know, is Ariel Helwani getting some of these kids on that we get on? No. Is Ariel Helwani getting Phil Baroni on his fucking show? No. Hector Lombard, after he lost a couple in a row, is Ariel Helwani on the show? No. The other girl that we had on, Sharon Jacobson. Is Ariel Helwani getting Sharon fucking Jacobson on her friend? Or Shay Visalant, whatever, that girl? Shay the Princess? She on Ariel's show? Doesn't give a fuck about these guys. He cares about you when it's convenient for him. Mm. Not me. I'm not that guy.
Anyway. Well, we do breed killers on this show.
We breed killers.
Yeah.
But don't forget about us when you fucking make it, all right? Trust me, I'm not going anywhere. I've been at this fucking business for 20 years. I started out in laundromats, giving out fucking, on the streets of New York, giving out flyers. People would spit on me. I dropped out of college. I would see kids I went to college with. How's it going, Adam? Great, come to Hamburger Harry's tonight. Watch me perform. And then people would be like, oh, yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to a Broadway show. I slept in my car numerous fucking nights. I've got booed off stages. I got menus thrown at my fucking head. I've gotten kicked out of venues. Left and right. I did a wedding one time. I got attacked at a wedding. It's on YouTube. Look up comedian attacked at wedding. I can't tell you about all the fucking bad gigs. I had to get one gig. Some girl liked me. She's like, hey, want to do warm up for the Fox News channel? I said, great. I get there. I've been doing comedy for a month. It's on. They're like, hey, we're talking about gun control today. It was like the O'Reilly, the pre-O'Reilly. They give me a pamphlet about, I don't know anything about gun control. Then they're like, I call my dad. I go, what do I do? I never done warm up. He goes, just do your act. So I go out there and start talking about marijuana. They can me. They fucking take the microphone, like, thank you. That's it.
Wow.
I did a comedy at a temple. I had the rabbi cut the mic off me. The point is, I'm still fucking here.
Yeah.
I worked for the UFC. I got fired from them. Worked at Fox Sports. They let me go. Bellator. All these people. I'm still here. Okay, Kevin Lee? All right? You gotta know who's with you from the come up. All these guys that are fucking Kevin Lee, they weren't there when you lost to that Brazilian guy. They weren't fucking there. I was there. I called you that night. I was at the fight and I fucking rooted for you. All the way up, all the way down. I'm still fucking here, okay? I'm with you guys, okay? Whether you're fucking on top or whether you're on bottom, I am here because I'm here for me. I know what it's like to be in the grind. I don't know about Helwani, but some of these guys, they just come out of fucking nowhere. Fucking Brendan Schaub says he's a road comic now. Doing theaters with your fucking name on the marquee is not a road comic. Sorry, dude. Okay, you skipped 17 fucking steps. Good for you. I'm happy for you. Good for you. But don't call yourself a fucking road comic. It's an insult to road comics. Okay? It's like CM Punk saying, oh, I earned my way to the UFC. No, you didn't, dude. You're a big star in the WWE, and they put you in there, and then you lost in a minute, and now they're giving you another fucking shot against a guy who's 0-1. I said they should fucking coach next year. The Ultimate Fighter defeated, okay, undefeated, just defeated. They take fucking 10 guys who are 0-something versus 10 other guys who are 0-something, and somebody's got to win.
That's a good ass idea, dude. I like it.
Yeah, put it on the fucking the Loser Network. Anyway, so. What are we talking about? Kevin Lee looked fucking great.
He did, dude.
He did look great. He looked great, but he's got to fucking be smarter with the weight cut.
He ate that big ass spinning heel kick. Oh, I thought that was, I was like, oh my God, come back right here from Edson Barbosa.
He's got some chin. He's got some heart. He's a smart fighter. He's a great wrestler. He's got all the intangibles except for the discipline. You can't get up to 195 and make 55. You can't lose 40 pounds every time you fight. It's just not going to work. Eventually, your chin's going to go. Your body's going to go. You're going to fade. I know you're young and you're healthy and all that, but 40 pounds is too fucking much. Either they need to make a weight class of 165, which is what they're going to do, in which case, great, or you got to get smarter when it comes to dieting, because getting up to 195 and cutting to 55 is not good.
That's rough, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it wrong to feel guilty about taking a girl's virginity?
What the fuck did that have to do with Kevin Lee?
I was just thinking about that like the entire time. This is just something that's been just hanging over my head.
Did you take someone's virginity?
No, but I'm thinking about it. I just feel like...
How old is she?
Remember the girl I was talking about where she was like, I took her on a date and she was acting completely strange angry.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's a virgin and she likes me a lot, I like her a lot, but I feel kind of awkward about taking a girl's virginity, dude.
You like her a lot? I thought you didn't like her. You said she was psycho.
Well, she sort of calmed down a little bit, and I do like her now.
How many days have you been on with her?
I've seen her like 3 times.
Okay, and she wants you to take her virginity after 3 times?
No, but we've talked about that stuff, and she says, oh, I don't even care about virginity. That's just like something that people cared about like in the 1920s. I'm like, I know, I agree with that. But still, I feel like most girls think of that as like a special moment in their life.
The 1920s was the only time you thought about virginity. This sounds insane.
Like virginity, like the topic of virginity, how your women want to save their bodies or dudes want to save their bodies until they're married.
Well, how come no one slept with her? 19, you said?
She's like 20, 21. 21? 21.
I don't know. That's kind of weird that she's a virgin at 21, but at the same time, she's attractive?
Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
I don't know, man. This is some flags here.
But is it bad? Because I feel bad about taking a girl's virginity, dude. I don't know why. Because I think of a girl like thinking of, oh, my virginity, when I lose, it's going to be a romantic night. And then I just picture myself coming in there, you know, with my big ass bondage kit.
No, yeah, don't bring the bondage kit, number one. Don't bring the bondage kit. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
That's not good. But number two, if you like her, it is a little bit different. Because if you like the girl, I would say go for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to fuck her and never call her again, don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
That's not cool.
On Friday, this Friday, I'm going with her and her family to her sister's musical, dude. Things are escalating very fast in this relationship.
How old is your sister?
Her sister's like 14.
Okay, now does she know about you and the podcast and what
you're
doing?
No. I'll never tell her anything about this podcast.
Okay, so she doesn't really know you?
I've made that mistake many times before where I tell girls, you know, to impress them.
Yeah.
I'm on a podcast. It's called MMA Roasted. Check it out. And then I'm talking about sleeping with a girl who's passed out on heroin.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then what happened? They listened to it and they said,
well, remember when I was talking about the girl where I ate her ass and she had toilet paper in it?
Yeah, that's disgusting.
She listened to that, dude.
No way.
But this is a different time. I talked about that same story, but on my podcast.
Right.
And then she texts me one day. She's like, ooh, look what I'm listening to. And it was that episode where I talked about it. But she was like at the beginning of the episode. And I talked about it in the middle of the episode. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta find a way to make her stop listening to this immediately.
Yeah.
So I went on SoundCloud. I made it as a private episode.
Yeah.
Thinking that it would kick her off, but it didn't.
Oh no.
So she like texted me like 20 minutes later, but she's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about this for on the podcast?
And oh man.
That was the end of that relationship.
Yeah, I would say, well, at least she wiped her ass better though.
Yeah, I mean, and she was in my class too at school. It wasn't like a girl on Tinder. She was in my class.
You see her afterwards?
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. It was awkward as hell, dude.
Yeah, that happened to me one time. This girl, I was like, I was in a slump. I hadn't got laid in, I don't know, a couple months. And this girl, I slept with this girl and she was an attractive girl, but on the podcast, I called her a 7. I'm like, yeah, I banged a solid 7. And then all of a sudden, like randomly, I get a text. I am not a 7. And I was like, oh, fuck. I mean, there was no way to come. I'm like, oh, I wasn't talking about you. Oh, you're banging another girl? It was bad. It was all bad.
That's actually the same excuse that I said when this girl said, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
another. Yeah,
but that never works.
There was one time there was this girl that I was dating. We hadn't committed yet. We hadn't committed to like, you know, get into that. We haven't committed fully, but we were sort of hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting a blowjob from some girl. And then my phone like dialed her number.
No,
she called me while I was getting a blowjob, and it picked up for some odd reason. Like, and then she heard me going, "Yeah, suck that." It was just like I think it was like a porn chick. I was like really getting into it, and then she heard it. And I think her friends were in the car. It was all bad.
Oh,
it was all bad.
That's hilarious.
But she stayed with me because it was bad.
How many porn chicks have you banged?
I don't know.
Is it like, did it live up to the hype?
Yes.
Really?
For the most part. A couple bad ones. I mean, there was one, some were really good, and then there were other ones where it's just weird, because I would know that I probably was not going to fall for this person and be in a serious relationship. I wouldn't be able to deal with them going to work and having sex for a job. So that in some ways made it easier, because you knew that there wasn't really that much at stake. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't like, there's still people, mm-hmm. you know? And as long as you went into it as like kind of being fun, but it's always one person ends up liking the person more, even when you say, oh, we're just going to be friends. It almost never works that way. And but that being said, yeah, I mean, there was one time where the girl had like a fake ass but didn't tell me.
What?
Yeah, she had like those butt implants.
I don't get why girls do that.
It feels weird. And I was like, what happened to your ass? Like, did you get hit by like a truck or something?
Is it
like,
hard, or is it squishy, or you just feel like you feel something in there?
It's like hard Play-Doh. You know, it's hard Play-Doh.
Okay.
So, and then she got mad at me over something, because I was asking her if she got tested. Something where, like, I asked her if she got tested, but after sex, which is not the time to ask. It's before. Like, hey, you don't have anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't ask them after you've had sex. Say, ask them before. But yeah. I made the mistake of, like, wanting my cake and eating it, too. So I've asked, and the girl was like, even if I did, well, I wouldn't tell you. And that got me even more angry or more nervous. And then I was like, listen, and I called her the wrong name.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But then I was like, but you have two names, so that's confusing, because she has a real name, and I got them. I was 0-2, uh-huh. basically. So that was bad. But for the most part, they were fun. They were always fun.
I hate it when girls do that.
What?
Ask if you've been tested.
No, I asked her that.
Oh.
But you hate when girls ask you that?
Yeah. I always just say, yeah, I'm clean, but I've never been tested before in my life.
That's lying, dude.
It's just like,
you got. Why don't you get tested?
Because I want to find out what I have.
No, but you don't want to give it to someone if you have something.
Well, I don't think I have anything. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know.
Just get tested just to be safe, for peace of mind.
What do they do when they test you? They scrape off some skin or something?
They put you under, and then the doctor butt fucks you. No. They basically they do like a swap. They like swap your mouth. Basically.
That's it.
Yeah.
I heard that they have to put a cotton swab into your dick hole.
No, they do not have to do that.
That does not
Who
sound.
Who told
good.
You that?
Maybe that's like
or your grandfather. Back
I think
in
that's
the day?
What they do for gonorrhea to test you if you have gonorrhea.
No, they don't do that. They just take a swab. But the worst, though, is I went to the only testing I was – when I first came out here, I used to go to the gay men's health clinic because they had free testing there.
Uh-huh.
You go in there, and it's all, like, dudes, you know, and then I was, like, leaving there, and I ran into, like, an ex that I knew, and it said gay men's health clinic, like, free AIDS testing. It was just really, really embarrassing.
What is she doing there?
And she was just, like, walking on the street. But oh. It was bad.
Like, as you're walking out of the door?
Yeah, it said gay men's health clinic free AIDS testing. It's not good. No bueno.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So, let's talk about some of the other fights that went on. Frankie Edgar Cub Swanson. So, I was that was a good fight. I kind of felt like Cub was sort of trying to survive that fight.
Yeah, I thought he would do a lot better, dude.
The first fight went so one-sided.
Uh-huh.
And he did better than he did the first fight. But it did seem like, in a way, he was trying to just survive and not necessarily win. I mean, I'm sure he was trying to win, but it didn't come across like that wasn't the best Cub Swanson. I think he's so mental. When he's on his game, he's one of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. But it just, Frankie looked great. Whoever was booing these fights are fucking assholes. You saw so many great fights, and that was a good fight. It wasn't the greatest fight ever, but it's Frankie Edgar in New Jersey, where he's from. And you're going to fucking boo? Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? You don't boo fighters, okay? Even if nothing's going on, you don't boo. You don't, unless it's Bob Sapp and he taps out to a fucking single leg, okay? Then you could maybe...
A single leg?
Maybe at that point, I can see people booing. Or... Who else would you? Or boo, you know.
A bad stoppage or something.
Yeah, boo the ref. Or boo the guy that doesn't let go of the fucking leg. What's his name?
Paul Harris.
Boo that shit. That's unsportsmanlike. But don't boo Frankie Edgar in his 97th fucking fight, you know, against Cub Swanson in his 800th fight, okay, who gave it their all. Give me a break. Give me a fucking break, Jersey.
How do you think Cub does in Bellator? That's probably
He's not going to Bellator.
You don't think so?
He lost one fight.
But I think his contract was going
to
be up.
No, he's not going to Bellator. And I think he does fine in Bellator, but I don't think he's going to Bellator.
That's good. I like Cubs.
He also owns like a bunch of UFC gyms.
Really?
A lot of them. I'm not sure if that's you know, like what the deal is. But I know he's a manager. He's got some kind of UFC gym. Because I remember. I was doing the fight. I was doing the UFC Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And Matt Hughes was there and BJ Penn and Cub Swanson. And they're all at the same table. And I'm like, oh, it's great to be among such, you know, amazing legends. And Cub Swanson. And then I told Matt Hughes, I'm like, oh, I didn't even recognize you without BJ's balls in your mouth. Like, I was giving him such a hard time. But he was a good dude.
That's Matt funny. Hughes is
cool. So who else? Dan Hooker versus Jim Miller. Jim Miller, I think at this point, you know, a legend, great fighter, solid dude, but it might be time. I mean, he got laid the fuck out.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I mean, what does he have to prove? I mean, you got to make a living, and I understand that, but what does he need to prove? What does he need to prove? Chase Sherman versus Willis. Chase Sherman, exciting fighter, not a very good fight IQ. You have about 3 feet on that guy. Why is he able to contact you every single time he throws a punch? Use your jab. I think he was a Golden Glove boxer, this guy, Chase Sherman.
Really?
But what does he stay? That dude was able to knock him every time he threw a punch. You got 3 feet on him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that you have. Use your jab.
Same thing. That's the same argument with Stefan Struve. You could say the same exact thing.
Oh, he got knocked out by Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
Mark Hunt is like 2'6". No disrespect to Mark Hunt, but there's no reason why he should be able to fucking knock Stefan Struve into the fucking eighth row. That was insane.
Who's that guy that Sherman fought? Because he had that effect where you look at him, he's like not in shape at all, 300
yeah.
pounds,
yeah.
had to cut weight to make heavyweight.
Jamel Willis, yeah, yeah.
But like when I see dudes like that, I deep down inside, I root for him just because it's hilarious to watch them like be successful in the UFC, like that Roy Nelson effect.
Of course.
Tank Abbott.
Also, that guy looks like he's been in a lot of fights in his life. Mm. You know, that dude was, you know, that's not the kind of guy you want to watch. You want to see at 24-hour donut fucking 3 in the morning when there's one donut left between you and him. By the way, I did jiu-jitsu again today. No-gi. It was fun. I had a good time. I just, this kid I was going against, he was a blue belt, but he was so flexible. So, and I kept taking him down with a low single.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hitting him with like a John Smith single. But then he was able to wrap his, it got me in 2 triangles. Like, I got to figure out how to get past someone's guard. I always take people down, but I'm in their guard. And then I just lay there. Either I posture up or I just lay down and like put pressure on them. But I got to figure out a way to pass people's guard.
I just drain their energy. I'll dig my elbows into their solar plexus and put all my body weight on it.
Yeah.
Until they just, I weigh 220 pounds. And when I do that, it don't feel too good. But I don't think when it comes to the solar plexus, it don't matter how
is
much
that what
you
do it to like your dates as well.
I mean, no, I just do normal chokes on my dates. I don't do like nothing painful like that. But I try to drain their energy, and eventually they'll break the guard, and you just pin one of their legs down and pass.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, but back to the porn stars. Let me think about. So when I was dating Kehlani Lay back in the day, hot Asian, beautiful girl.
Uh-huh.
We dated for a little bit. We didn't like date, but like we never actually wrote. Well, she told me. She goes, I don't care how many bitches you fuck, I just want to be your number one bitch. That's what she told me. And I was like, I just want to be your number one dude today. She didn't appreciate that joke at all. And then one time I was over her house and I found like her porn was on one side. It was like her naked and she looked beautiful. I look in the back. She has like a dick in each hand. And I was like, yeah, not so much. And then she's like, don't judge me. I don't judge your comedy. I go, I don't have 2 dicks on stage. I'm telling jokes. And then she's like, get out. She got mad. But we're still friends now. She's a cool girl. She's a really sweet girl. It just at the time. And then she got mad because I think there was like a drummer from Guns N' Roses on her couch. And he was there and like drunk. And I was asking him if the bands got back together. And she thought I was being a fanboy, which I was. I'm a big Guns N' Roses fanboy. Because she had a roommate that was like dating the guy. It was just some weirdness was going on. All right. So Aljamain Sterling, super happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Got a win. That dude was tough. That guy he went up against. And Aljamain looked good.
He looked very good. I'm impressed.
I'm very, very, very impressed. As well as, who else? What else was going on? Leslie Smith is now kicked out of the UFC. That sucks.
Some bullshit, huh?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. The girl didn't make weight. I guess Leslie wanted more money. I think. I got to get the full story from her. And then they were going to pay her whether she fights or not. So she's like, well, I'll get $60,000 if I don't fight. So basically, if I fight, I'm fighting for free, which makes sense if that logic. But I guess it's good. Now she has a lawsuit against them because she thinks it's about the union. And there really should be a union, I think. I think it would. I think there's a lot of things that should, you know, or at least there's some rules that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if someone misses weight by like more than 2 or 3 pounds, I think like 2, you should be able to get paid and not have to fight. because you made the weight and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you win. This because too many fighters are taking fights. Opponent's not making weight. They're fighting and losing. I mean, that's the guy. Look what happened to Ramos or Lamas, Ricardo Lamas. That's what happened to him against Emmett. Emmett wins, and everyone cares about Emmett. The same thing happened with the kid from New York. Fucking his name, the Desmond Green loses to a guy who doesn't make weight. You know, that's one thing that I would definitely change.
Mm-hmm.
Your opponent misses. There's got to be a cutoff, 2 pounds. If you don't get within 2 pounds, the fight's off. And you should get the money.
I heard, I don't know if this is true, but is it true that for like the Kevin Lee, Edson Barboza instance, since Kevin Lee didn't make weight, that fight is ineligible for like a fight of the night bonus?
I think so, but that doesn't matter. At that point, but it doesn't, because it really matters if you win or lose, to be honest.
Right.
I think, that's what I think, you know? So anyway.
What's your take on that one fight, the controversial stoppage?
Oh, that fight was fucking dumb. I thought that that guy, look, if you make it to the end of the fight and they don't call a submission and they don't call that you're out and you don't tap and you're winning, the fight's over. It goes to the judges. You can't call a fight after the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that guy was kind of going out. And he looked a little bit loopy, but doesn't matter. He was awake enough to think that he won the fight, number mm-hmm. one, and that was bullshit. You can't do that. You can't call a fight over when it's not officially over.
Yeah,
that's what I think, right?
Yeah, that's some bullshit. It's sort of like the thing that happened with Anderson Silva, Michael Bisping, where Anderson straight up knocked him out in like the second round with the flying knee, but yeah. It was like after the bell, right?
Yeah.
Sort of the same sort of concept.
No, kind of. I mean, basically, look, whatever happens within the bell is what happens in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to sleep, if you all of a sudden win the fight and then you pass out a second later, you still won the fight within mm-hmm. within the round, mm-hmm. within the fight. You don't, whatever happens after the bell, the fight's over, that's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was bullshit.
But that dude did look super impressive. He's fun to watch.
Who, Ricky Simon? Or the other kid?
The dude who lost.
Good.
Yeah.
I
thought he was like some Dagestani dude. I'm like, these goddamn Dagestani. And I saw Matt Serra, Ray Longo in his corner. I'm
no,
like,
he is,
wait,
though.
What?
I think he is from somewhere else, though.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think maybe he just trains with...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm surprised that those guys didn't flip out more. You know, the Serra Longo.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt, I fucking love those guys. Those guys are good. Those guys are good coaches.
And congrats to Matt for being inducted into the Hall
of
Fame.
Yeah, and people were saying it was controversial. It's not fucking controversial. It's also, I think, it's not just what you do in the UFC. I think it's also what you do after, for some cases.
And he's still been around, hanging out, doing the UFC Unfiltered podcast.
Yeah. Hello, Nick Lentz.
That's me.
Hey, how's it going? It's Adam Hunter and Ween Dog. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good, 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 good. What's new in the life of Nick Lentz?
Nothing, man. Just doing the same old stuff. You know, I'm about to have another kid, so there's that.
Nice. What number is this?
That's my second one. Second daughter coming.
Nice.
Couple weeks here. And then I just signed to fight Leo Santos in June, New York. So that's pretty much my life right now, training and trying to take care of the baby.
Oh, that's great. Leo, now, is that in Utica?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You're also on Vince Pichel's on that card. Jake Ellenberger's on that card. Lauren Murphy. It's a solid card. Solid, solid card.
Yeah, let's hope so. I don't really pay attention to who's on the card or not, but I hope it's good.
No, it's gonna be really, really good. What do you know about Leo Santos?
I don't know that much about him besides the tape I watched. You know, tall striker, tall jiu-jitsu guy. You know, he knocked out Kevin Lee, but since then, I think he thinks he's become a little bit of too much of a striker. But we'll see. Seems to be patient, good. He's good new Vanyal guy, typical guy. But they're all good now, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get past the initial first couple suckers in the UFC, you know, it's just monster after monster after that.
Well, you won your last 3 out of 4, including a win over Will Brooks, which is a. That was a huge win. I know that there was like a lot of bad blood between you and Will Brooks. Is that over with? Or you
well,
guys?
Not, well, not exactly, because I couldn't give a shit about Will Brooks. You know, like Like I have no beef with him still, but he just manufactured beef that never existed. But I would assume that we squashed that, but I have no idea. I haven't talked to him or anything.
Now, what that beef was basically, you were training it over at ATT, correct?
Yep.
And how long were you there for?
Years, man. Years and years and years. I was at ATT.
And then why did you leave?
The coaching system started to fall apart a little bit, and the gym got too big. So it kind of lost the family-like atmosphere, and it kind of became like, I don't know, I used to describe it like Walmart or some kind of thing. So anyone could come in, anyone could leave, anyone could do anything, and it lost the team connection and sort of the spirit that I liked the ATT for originally. You know, ATT was always a very big gym, but everybody took care of each other and stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day, a guy would come in that you might be fighting or might fight in the future, and they didn't care. So, you know, the whole time I was training for fights, a lot of the time some of the corner men that would coach the guy I was fighting were at ATT while I was training for the camp. So I was like, no, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
That's whack. You know, I'm not like too picky about things, but there's certain lines that you can't cross, and that would be one of them.
So then where did you end up going?
I trained with Henry Hook.
Oh, okay. So
Hard Knocks 365 is what it's called. But, you know, the Black Zillions kind of sectioned off, and Henry took all what I consider all the good guys, and now we work with him.
Now, when you were over there, did you ever train with Colby Covington?
I trained with him a little bit. You know, I mean, I know Colby. Super cool guy. I mean, I don't know about the whole nerd bashing and stuff, but overall, he's a super nice, respectful guy when I train with him. But that's about all I know about him.
Now, do you think that he really beat up Tyron Woodley in practice, and that Woodley was, and like Woodley's dodging him and yada yada?
You know, Will said the same thing about me, about how he beat me up in practice and the coaches saved me about it. And it's like that, first of all, like practice is practice. So really talking about practice is ridiculous because you don't know what that person has done. You know, I mean, I train with guys all the time who it's the first day training, or not the first day, but the first day of the week that they're training, and I have three sessions before I train with them, so I could be done, you know? You could be working on a jab the whole time. You could be working on a system of fighting for your next guy that is going to be completely countered by what your training partner does. So talking about practice is silly. You know, it's kind of a whack way to do things. So I don't know. I mean, probably. I mean, Colby is very good, so yeah. It's possible that he got the better of him in practice. But, I mean, as far as T-Wood goes, I mean, he gets a lot of shit, but, I mean, how much has he seems to win.
Yeah, he has won.
He beat a lot of really good guys, so even if he did kick his ass in practice, apparently there's something he does when it's fight night that changes.
Right, exactly. Everyone always says that Kelvin Gastelum gets beat up all the time in practice and murders people in the octagon, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why there's guys like that, you know? I've heard Anderson Silva's that kind of guy, trains at 30%, doesn't care. You know, there's a lot of guys that are out there that aren't practice fighters. They're real fighters, so who knows?
Right, and now what did you think, what was your take on the whole Conor McGregor throwing the dolly situation?
Ridiculous, you know? I mean, it's kind of like it doesn't fit into any category, you know. Like he's trying to be a gangster, but gangsters wouldn't do it that way. And he's trying to defend his friend, but if he wanted to defend his friend, he would have waited till the cameras were off and just decapped the motherfucker, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I found it pretty ridiculous. But the most ridiculous part, I thought, was when everyone went on and they were like, oh, this is so bad. Like, Conor's going to be done. What are we going to do with him? And then the next day, everyone's like, Conor versus Khabib has to happen, and Conor's the best thing in the world again, you know?
Yeah, no, it just, so, it's, yeah, it seems like money talks, right? So That's really the end. And that's what I said. I go, Mayweather went to jail for 5 months or 6 months for beating up his baby mama. Comes out, he's in a $1 million fight. Tyson went to jail for rape. Comes out, they give him. I mean, what Conor did is not even near as bad as what those guys did. I mean, the UFC just signed Greg Hardy to compete. I mean, the guy got banned from.
I actually picked up one of my friends from ATC. It's the first time I've ever been back there today to go eat, and the UFC was there. I was like, why are they there? And they said, Greg Hardy's going to be on the Contender Series or something. So, yeah, that one caught me off guard, too.
I mean, he got kicked out of the NFL for bad behavior. When the NFL says we don't want you and the UFC takes you in, it's not a really good look for the UFC.
No, I suppose not. I guess I never really thought about that. But, yeah, you can straight up murder people in the NFL and get away with it.
Yeah, and the NFL was like, we don't want this guy. And the UFC's there, hey, come on. The I was like, well, what?
Well, he's not technically in the UFC yet. Isn't he going to be on the Contender Series or something?
He's going to be paid. But he's still going to get paid to fight on a UFC broadcast. So, I mean, wouldn't that be, being employed by the UFC?
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, there's a bunch of shit. I mean, like, look, I'm the biggest MMA fan in the fucking world, or one of them. But when I see guys like CM Punk get in the UFC and other guys like Ben Askren don't, it's just like you can't claim to have the best guys in the world or have all the best guys when Ben Askren can't get in, but CM Punk can.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose. I mean, I don't know that much about Ben Askren, but I think some of that is him not wanting to be in the UFC.
Good point.
You know, for financial reasons or whatever. I mean, I'm sure the UFC has approached him at some point and said, hey, we want you to fight. And, you know, Askren seems to be quite a good businessman. So he probably said, I want this much money. And then they said, well, never mind. You know? So,
yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, who knows?
Now you're a big Trump supporter, correct?
Well, I mean, I'm a conservative, and Trump was a conservative. At least he kind of pretended to be, you know. So, yeah, I'm a Trump guy, but I'm not like I like Trump. I find him to be funny. I think he's done some good things, but I don't think he's like God or anything like some of these people.
Right, right. No, but I see you fighting with people on Twitter. Like you and Devin Sawa go at it all the time. Because you're a big now. Look, I'm not going to argue politics with you because I'm not that really good at arguing politics, but explain to me why I should support Donald Trump.
Well, I don't know if you should support Donald Trump right now, but the whole purpose of supporting Donald Trump is because you support the ideas that he talked about, and the ideas he talked about are simple, you know, take care of America before you go trying to take care of the rest of the world. You know, we don't need to be. See, he's kind of backing off from this now, but we don't need to go bomb the Middle East out of existence while we have homeless people here, right? Like we don't need to constantly worry about the rest of the world when we have all kinds of problems here. We don't need to worry about everything else when they take half my damn money, but they just waste it all, and then things never get better. The ghettos never get smaller. That nothing ever happens. And so Trump actually came in and said, and actually was able to say some of these things. And on top of it, he kind of like put his nose up at the PC culture.
Yeah.
To where like you can't say anything without getting like shit on and getting fired. You know, that's bad for everybody. And he didn't stop that, but he put the brakes on that a little bit. So now we can actually like joke around a little, you know.
No, as a comic,
you know, like 100%. Like someone like you. I mean, you say funny stuff all the time, but it's degrading to somebody.
Of course, there's a big
And then like you don't mean it. You're just messing around. But like just think about that. If the UFC like it was going in a direction where the UFC would be like, you called this dude Screech McGregor, like you can never watch a UFC again or come to an event or you know what I mean, like. People were getting fired for a while for saying stuff on Twitter. I don't know if people remember that, but Torres got like kind of fired, didn't he, for saying like something about some rape thing, and even Forrest Griffin got in trouble like back in the day for saying something on Twitter. So like anything that pulls back that bullshit, I like that guy.
No,
it's not easy to say that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, 100%. I'm with you on that because I know as a comic, it's like. every joke has a victim. You got to make fun of something. But all of a sudden, everybody go, oh, you offend me. You offend me. But it's never the person you're making fun of that gets offended. Actually, 99%. It's somebody else who gets offended for that person, on behalf of that person. It was insane. It was insanity.
And I guess the other reason I like Trump is just because for the longest time, conservatives have been saying that the news is leftist, that everyone in the media is run by Democrats. And I mean, it couldn't be any more proved now by how much people have went crazy about Trump, that how true that is. So it kind of just proved everything that I've said my whole life. Right. So, you know.
Yeah. No. There are parts of what Trump does that I'm all for. But then all of a sudden he just says like, oh, there are good people on both sides. Sometimes he speaks out of his ass. So you're just like, ugh. You just wish he would just curb.
Yeah,
you know, but. I guess nobody's perfect.
Yeah, bro. Sometimes he says the stupidest stuff, but, you know, the cynical person in me says, like, you know, maybe, like he says, he's not dumb. So what worries me a little bit about it is when he's off spouting stupid stuff on Twitter, I mean, what is the United States really doing, you know? God knows.
Yeah.
God knows what that distracts everybody from.
You should run for president. You know? I think I would probably vote for you in the next election.
Yeah, for real.
So, Nick Lentz, you got a big fight coming up. You got a daughter on the way. I have a daughter on the way too. My daughter's coming in July. Any advice on parenting?
It's ridiculously hard, but there's nothing in my life that's ever been more rewarding, you know? I mean, I have a great marriage, I have a great everything, but there's something about my daughter that just, you know, I mean, even talking about it is impossible without me, like, wanting to cry and stuff because, you know, they just mean so much to you.
Nice.
And, there's nothing. I can't be a tough guy. I want to talk about my daughter, you know. She's the world to me, so. And now I'm going to have two, and, you know, to be truthful, my brain can't comprehend loving another thing that much. So I'm worried that I won't like this one as much, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that once they come out, you know, that will change.
Now, my wife, when she's pregnant, like, her hormones take over, and sometimes she yells at me and goes from 0 to 100 over nothing. Other times she wants to have sex 24/7 to the point where I'm just, like hiding in a closet yelling, me too. Do you go through that as well or no?
Nah, bro, I don't dig pregnant chicks, man. We just put that shit on the back burner.
Really?
I'm good. Just handling it myself.
Wait,
I don't like fucking pregnant chicks. It's weird.
It is weird, so, right? It's. I feel like I'm poking my daughter in the head with my dick. Like 100%.
It's weird, and they're fat, and they're like hot, and like no. I'm just gonna stay away from that bomb and just. Have a lot of sex after she's done.
Yeah, but my wife would kill me if I didn't have sex with her for 9 months. You gotta make her feel attractive. I mean, even doggy style, you don't do it?
Well, of course I do it, but I mean fuck, man, not that often, bro. I mean, not that often.
Like,
you just kind of put it on the back burner.
I mean, do you like close your eyes and like think of other people or no?
No. No, I'm not gonna say that I fantasize about other women while I'm having sex with my wife on the radio. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, she's a very smart man. What does your wife do?
She just works at an elevator company.
Oh, nice. There you go. Those things are up and down. Anyway, so terrible joke. So Nick Lentz got a big fight coming up. Training with is it you and Usman and Rashad?
Yeah, Usman, Sarah Usman, Michael Johnson, Henry Hooft, Luke Rockhold, wow. Matt Mitrione, that crew.
Now, I love Michael Johnson, but something goes. He is the most talented guy who just has like these like 3 second lapses in fights where you're just like, ugh. Am I right?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's a good training partner. I can tell you that. But, I mean, obviously, I think. In the recent, his last couple fights, he's definitely underperformed for what he's capable of because the guy is a monster. I mean,
a monster.
Knocked out.
Yeah.
He knocked out crazy people. He's so fast, you know. and so technical, but yeah, I mean, obviously he's gone on a little bit of a streak here. That's not as good as we would want.
But yeah,
I think he's going to come back. I think they're going to sign a really fun fight for him. You know, I don't know exactly what it is, and I can't say, but I'm pretty sure that pretty soon here he's going to have a really fun fight, and he's going to put himself right on the top of the map again.
Good, because he's basically like one fight away. He's always right there. You know, he's just so damn talented. So I like it. Who do you have in the next? Who do you have, Stipe or Cormier?
Stipe, man. Cormier is tiny. I mean, maybe you can take him down, but I mean, just the sheer size advantage, and if he just uses it, unless he's like an idiot and tries to wrestle with him or something, you know. But you know, Cormier, like when he beasted Dan Henderson, I mean, I was like, holy crap, man, that guy. I got a little more respect for him then, you know, when he just made him look like a child out there. So maybe he can do something like that again.
Okay, and then Fedor or Mitrione this week? No, actually Fedor.
Mitrione,
who's fighting?
My teammate.
Yeah, Mitrione, right? Mitrione, Fedor. No, who's fighting this weekend?
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, it's this weekend, right? Who is it?
Frank Mir, Fedor?
Oh, Frank Mir. No. No, oh, no. Frank Mir or Fedor this week?
Fedor, man. I hope Fedor. I don't think he's going to win, but I hope so. Just to kind of... I mean, Fedor is like the legend, you know? Even though probably in modern time he wouldn't be as good, but for his time, I mean, he was... I mean, people thought that guy was unbeatable. Like, he was just the craziest thing ever, but... He's actually kind of tiny, and have you seen Frank Mir lately?
Yeah, he's huge. It's like Frank Moore.
He's like gigantic, bro. I mean, just being in a room with him, you would fail your USADA test. So he could be ready. So we'll see.
Wait, he doesn't look fat anymore? You're saying he like looks ripped and like strong?
Yeah, bro, he's gigantic.
Wow. Because last time I saw him, he looked like he was like on the Roy Nelson diet. I mean, he looked huge. Like, not good in a way. Like,
well, that's all right, bro. That's all right, bro. If you're going to be heavyweight, there ain't no reason to be super ripped.
Yeah.
You might as well get to do it all, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Nick Lentz, thank you for being on the show, man. I'm a big fan of yours. Keep up the great work. And good luck with the upcoming daughter.
I appreciate it, man. And you too. God bless.
God bless. Take care. It was Nick Lentz.
I can't believe that, dude.
What?
That he doesn't like to bang his pregnant wife.
Oh, really? That's what you got out of the whole thing?
Yeah. I was just like, why would he say that? I'm like, damn, dude. Maybe we should just start a business. We'll find dudes like Nick Lentz that don't like to bang their wives like when they're pregnant.
And then you could bang their wife?
Yeah, and it's good.
Yeah, that'll go really well, having a UFC fighter banging his wife. Like, that's going to go really well for you, Joe.
I mean, it's good because my dick is not big enough where I'm going to be poking the baby in the eyeball or nothing like that. So it's all safe. We'll use the Speedweed lubricant.
My wife and I, we were in Colorado, and of course, Knocked Up was on. So we're watching Knocked Up.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
We were watching it while your wife's pregnant, you know?
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the movie, the girl, Kristen, what's her name? The movie.
I don't know what her name is.
She's like really big. And I go to my wife, I'm like, you're not going to get that big, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, what? Why would you ask me? I'm like, oh, fuck, why would I ask? It was one of those things that like the thought came to my head, and I'm like, oh, why did I say that out loud?
I feel like you have those moments every single day with your wife.
Every day, not with my wife, with everybody that I come in contact with.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%. But yeah, I'm excited, though. I can't wait to be a dad. I'm looking forward to it. I'm nervous as fuck, mostly about money and travel because I'm on the road all the time and I got to figure out how to make money in town. But coming up, I got big news, guys. I got a big show announcement, a big show with one of the biggest stars in the world is producing it. So that I should be able to, the contract should be signed hopefully by next week. And I'll be able to talk about it.
It's awesome, dude. I'm very proud.
It's the grind, bro. You got to embrace the grind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking jiu-jitsu. You know, it used to like, I went three rolls today. I went three. I
started 15
going,
minutes?
Yeah. I started going one, then I went two, and now I'm up to three a week. I'm going to try to get to four or five. My goal is to like, be able to go seven or eight by the time. Because we do an hour of technique and an hour of live rolling.
That's cool. 2-hour class.
Yeah. So, but by the third roll, I'm like, ugh. But I'm pacing myself now. I'm not wrestling. It's like I'm choosing when to explode versus just exploding the entire time.
And then you get tired faster when you try to.
Yeah, or like I go for guillotines every time and I burn myself out trying to squeeze. But I'm learning better grips, you know, on the guillotine, and also like I was always told like when you hit a guillotine just to kind of just arch back and just and versus like now it's just rocking. They said basically, so I'm learning little things that are saving my energy and not. You know, just tough man, you know, not burning my arms out.
So. That's good. I know I roll a lot of times. We'll always have new people coming into the 10th Planet Burbank almost every week, new people. And sometimes, like right when I roll with them, I can immediately tell that they have a big, solid wrestling background.
Yeah.
So what they do, I'm a very passive jiu-jitsu player. I like to play the guard. I like to be on the bottom most of the time. So I'll have dudes pass my guard and get me in that, like that side control where they have like the head and arm lock and they hold me there tight. I can't do anything and they'll just still lay there for 15 or for five
yeah,
minutes.
That, yeah, that's what I do, but I gotta like work on moves. I can't just, I like, because as a wrestler, you're like, oh, I'm pinning the person, but
yeah.
I guess in point jiu-jitsu, you would be winning if you were doing, but that's not the goal. The goal is to submit the guy or make him submit, which I like. I mean, I was weird when I wrestled though. Like if someone shot on me and I got behind them, I wouldn't count that as a takedown. It's only take that if I shot in and got the takedown.
Right.
You know, but jiu-jitsu guys, it's just hard to sometimes go on the feet with them because some of them are so bad at takedowns, especially the white newer belts. I mean, it's basically just like push them and they fall down. And you're like, wait a minute. So it's a little confusing because they're so willing to go to their back versus wrestling where you would give up 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it.
My rolling partner was a female. She yelled at me the other day because I was on bottom. I was trying to go for that bottom arm bar. I can't really explain it, but it's pretty the most common bottom arm bar.
Yeah.
And when I was swinging my leg over her head, I accidentally kicked her in the face, but she thought I did it on purpose.
Why would you kick a girl in the face?
That's what I said. Why would I kick you in the face on purpose? She's like, you need to calm down. I'm like, what do you expect when you roll with the wean dog? I'm a savage.
Have you ever got tapped by a girl?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that embarrassing or?
No. I embrace it because I never go 100%. Even with anybody, I never go 100%. I'm always like in that like 50% range.
So you're letting the girl tap you?
Yeah. I mean, I just let her work like positions, techniques, transitions. But I'm not using all my strength to make sure she doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I was going up against a brown belt today, and I got him, and we were going like starting from top and bottom. And I immediately got, he was like in turtle position when we started, and I immediately got him to like an arm triangle.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, I'm amazing. And then I realized he let me get into a fucking I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm looking at the teacher going, do I get 3 belts for this? Like, what if I tried to tap the guy, but he was defending it. Like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to tap this guy. But I was like, fuck, how did I get that arm triangle so easily? He let me do it. I'm like, that's kind of bull. I mean, I understand. I guess these guys are trying to put themselves in bad positions so they can get out of them, which is kind of cool. But don't make me feel like I got you in a fucking arm triangle. So I'm like, what? This is a brown belt? Like, but yeah.
There's a few of those people like in my class where when it comes to rolling, I know that if I roll with them, it's going to be a slow and painful death just because they're so good.
Oh, that's how Jared is.
Yeah, Jared. Oh my, I can't even begin with Jared.
Jared Carlston, by the way, who like is one of these dudes who's like 6'3", 135 pounds.
Yeah.
He fought on The Ultimate Fighter. He lost to that guy, like Christian Marcello, I think. And, you know, the guy was like a high degree black belt and he got tapped by him. But he's one of these guys where like you roll with him and you're like, man, this guy's not losing to anybody. Like,
yeah.
There's no way anyone on the planet could beat this guy.
Right.
And then he loses like these like kind of like low, or he's lost before. We're at like, you know, Woodland Hills MMA live from, you know, like
at a casino.
And you're like, how the fuck did that happen? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I would have bet my house. I would have bet, I don't even own the house. I would have bet the house that no one could. And I'm not saying this to insult this guy. He just, I don't know if it's performance anxiety or he gets in his head or he just doesn't, you know, certain guys just, yeah. I mean, I'm sure if he keeps fighting, he'll eventually put it together. Mm-hmm. Is he still fighting?
I think he's done with MMA.
He's done. But there are some guys like that. I mean, there's just some guys like that. They just can't. I mean, Kerry Colot, who is one of the best college wrestlers of all time. Best high school wrestlers. Amazing, good, really good college wrestler. I think in high school he was a 4-time or 5-time national champion. I remember going to wrestling camp at Ken Chertow's camp in West Virginia, and he was teaching, and he wouldn't let anyone videotape him because he didn't want anyone knowing his moves.
Wow.
Which I thought the guy was like, that's kind of lame, but now it makes sense. Anyway, now if you go on Kerry Colak, like he has a YouTube series where every wrestler goes and watches this. A lot of wrestlers come because he teaches stuff that you're like, holy shit, these are amazing techniques. And he had like one fight, MMA fight, against some guy like called like the Stranimal, who has a record of, I don't know, 14-7 or something. But he lost in the first round. And that was it.
Wow.
But it just didn't translate, you know? And sometimes people who are really good at jiu-jitsu, but it just doesn't translate. And it's not, I don't know, it's just the way life is.
It's like nowadays you just have to be training in all aspects of MMA, like from a very, very young age to be able to compete with the future of the sport.
People sometimes see my comedy and go, why aren't you fucking more successful? Like, why aren't you here? Why don't you have a Netflix? I don't know. I'm trying. Okay? I'm trying. I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. A lot of mistakes. I was too dirty. I had management I shouldn't have been with. I fucked up certain situations. And I could probably tell you 10 things that I should have done. Maybe not even changing my name was a good idea, from Greenberg to Hunter. But whatever. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I'm still here. And like I said, you know, when I finally do pop and really pop, people are going to be like, where the fuck did he come from? And they're going to call me an overnight success. Like, or they're going to say, I only made it because of this. It's like people say, oh, Tiffany Haddish. Dude, I've been working with Tiffany Haddish for 20 years, 15 years. She's been grinding every night, 15 years, every night.
Yeah, I've known her for like 5+ years. Like
every fucking, some good stages and some bad stages. Tiffany Haddish, I mean, she's earned whatever comes her way. Leslie Jones, same thing. She just got on Saturday Night Live and that made her famous, but she was grinding away. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. Ken, before he became, I remember seeing all these guys and, you know, it's not a race and it never really happens when you want it to happen. And it never happens necessarily when you're ready. And sometimes you hit before you're ready. Sometimes you hit after you're ready. I think it's better to be over-prepared and under-prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the case with me. I'm 40 years old almost. And, you know, I make a living doing comedy. I travel the world doing comedy. I make people laugh. I'm part of the you know, the small percentage of people that actually love what they do. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, I've made it. But have I made it to the point where I'm, you know, doing X amount of money, dollars on X amount of weekends? No. And that's what I want to go for. Have I made movies and TV shows that I've really been proud of? No, I want to do it. But it's all a grind. That's the good thing about my business. It's never over. It's never over. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you keep trying. You just got to keep fucking trying. I don't know if I'm talking to you or me. Okay. So here I am. We're calling Julian Marquez right now. I like this dude a lot. He saw me in Kansas City. He brought his grandma, like all his friends.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was like, hello, is this Julian Marquez?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Let me put my headset on so I can hear you a little bit better.
What was that?
I got to put my headset on.
Oh, yeah, put it on, dude. Put it on. Hello?
All right, you there?
Yeah, so Julian Marquez, 27 years old, from Missouri. He came and saw me in Vegas. He's over at John Wood. And then I was doing a show in Kansas City, and he's like, hey, I'm going to come bring my whole family. His whole family, there was like 50 people. He brought 50 Cubans. His grandma came. I don't think she even spoke any English. But I told her that I like wanted to bang her. And he was such a nice guy. I mean, what a fucking nice guy. So he comes and he's like, hey, man, I'm fighting. I think you were in LFA, or I think it was back then, and you'd won your fight. I was like, oh, good luck, man. Good luck. Then I see him fucking knock out Cameron Olsen in like a minute. I'm like, oh, there's something to this guy, right? He beat Matt Hamill real quick. Matt didn't hear it coming. Not a bad joke. Okay, so then he beat Phil Haas. Then I see you on the Contender Series. You were going up against a guy. They were hyping the fuck out of this guy. Like, he's John Jones' best friend. He's the next John Jones. They train together, this and that. And this dude was putting it on you. And next thing I know, you hit him with a head kick. This dude is still sleeping. He hasn't woke up yet. It was a fucking year and a half ago. Holy shit. What was that like, bro?
Oh, man. This is the most intense feeling, man, because everything just spiraled and opened up from there. Now I'm where I'm at today.
I mean, did you see it going down that way?
No, not at all. I knew I was going to win. I knew that I knew that my cardio and everything was going to outlast him, and my ring experience was going to outlast him. But I just didn't think that when he got tired, he would get up like that. But in the fight, I guess I saw it happening. I didn't plan for it.
I mean, when you look over and you see a black guy who's like, who looked like Debo from Friday, were you nervous at all? Was there any part of you going, what the fuck did I get myself into?
No, not at all, man. I love fighting, and it's fun, man. It's fun to me. And the bigger and scarier the people are to others, I think they're really not that scary. I think it's just fun. It's going to be a fun night.
Then your next fight, you fought Darren Stewart. Another fight, you were the underdog. And you beat up that dude. What was that like?
Man, it was fun. It was different because, like, most people don't really realize, man, like, I was training for a totally different guy and a different style to the point when we switched our opponent in like 9 days. I just went out there, my first fight of the UFC, I fought like it was my first fight of the UFC. My adrenaline took over and I was just like, forget it, man, we're just gonna go at it. I made the best person win.
That was awesome. So, that was pretty damn awesome. And now you got a fight coming up in July, right?
Yep, July 6th over at the Palms Casino on International Fight Week with Alessio De Chirico.
Now, who's this guy?
He is the guy at the same card that I fought on. He fought. He ended up getting the knockout of the night, or performance bonus. He hit Awale with a knee and just folded him over. It was a great. It's a great fight he had. I don't know if you guys remember that fight, but he's a good guy. I mean, he's fought, I think, four or five times in the UFC. He lost twice, I think, one to Spice Lee, and then one to, I don't think he fought Thiago Santos. I don't know for sure, but he's a tough guy. He goes to war. He gets decisions. He brings a fight, man. He's a heavy hitter. He's great cardio, and he definitely will bring out the best in me, as well as bring out like the best entertainment wise for fans.
Nice. And I'm excited for that. I'm actually going to be there. I 100% will be there. Now, where did you
grow?
Absolutely.
Are you going to do a show the night before?
Yeah. I'm doing a show in Vegas that week at the Stratosphere. And then I will be at that fight. I'm going to be at the Palms to cheer you on, man. 100%.
There we go. I like it.
100%. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up in a small town called Kearney, Missouri, but my dad lives in Gladstone area, but I grew up in the Kansas City area, just being a little wrestler, and all you're doing going to wrestling practices, there ain't nothing else to do up in Missouri.
Now, your parents from Cuba?
My dad is from Cuba. My mom is from here in the United States.
Now, is your dad like a tough Cuban guy? Because Cuban men usually are like hot tempered, take no shit. Dude.
Nah, he's not that. I mean, when you look at him, you'll think that he is. Like back in school, whenever we'd have like wrestling tournaments, my dad looked like he was like the mafia. So he'd just stand by the door. He'd have a suit on and his hair slicked back, and he'd just stand by the door with his hands crossed, watching all the wrestling matches. And everybody just thought he was like security. Or they thought like he was just like the mafia, that my coaches were afraid to go up to talk to him, and my dad would come up and like stick his hand out, and that my coaches would literally flinch because they thought my dad was going to smack him if something happened. But he's just shaking their hand, but hey, thanks for coaching my son.
Oh, that's awesome.
But nah.
And
it just looks intimidating.
And what got you into wrestling?
My dad, I used to get in like little street fights, or I wouldn't say street fights. I just get fights in the neighborhood, and my dad's like, look, you need something to keep your focus on school and to keep your focus and kind of like control your anger. So he threw me in wrestling because my teacher in high school was my wrestling coach, or was a wrestling coach. He was like, hey, just put your son in here. So my dad signed me up, and then ever since that, dude, I fell in love with it.
And how did you do in the States?
No, man. I got kicked out of high school my freshman year. I got kicked off my sophomore year. Got kicked off my junior year. And then my senior year, I made it to state at heavyweight, weighing 197 pounds.
Why did why did you get kicked off out of high school your sophomore or junior year?
I was a bad kid, man. It was rough.
No, but what did you do?
Make dumb decisions. Huh?
What did you do?
I tried to be smart, man, and tried to be cool and be funny and just get in the teacher's school, like the grades. Like, I changed my grades, which was stupid, but I got in trouble for it, and they kicked me off the wrestling team. So just from doing that, just each year, man, I just do something even more stupider and just not even think of it. And my senior year, I was like, all right, it's time to relax.
Wait, what did you do? What did you do the next year? Okay, so you got into the teacher's grades. That was a sophomore year. What did you do your junior year?
Our junior year, man, we hazed a kid, and it was just a terrible feeling. And just got in trouble with the school for hazing because it was a teacher's son. So I got in trouble and just like, I was a bad kid for sure. I learned a lot of lessons. And, it really changed me as an adult growing up. Now, you fucking hate the fact of what you did, but
yeah, no, I've done, I
never
did,
got to do,
yeah,
never got to experience a full wrestling, experience. That's what kind of like helped me out the most is I would always train wrestling with everybody, but I never get so many competition time and I could roll with the best. And the problem is I just never got to show it because I always got in trouble and then
you're like a coach's worst nightmare because every year the season starts, you're like, oh, we're gonna be great this year, and then like a month into it, you're like, oh, this kid.
Ugh. Yeah, you're just like, yeah, I was the John Jones of my high school.
Now we doing a lot of coke and like banging pregnant chicks
banging pregnant chicks. That's my job, dude.
Yeah. Banging pregnant.
Well, banging with his car.
Fuck,
I guess.
No, just always messing up, man. Always messing up somehow. Just find myself at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I'm just like, damn.
So did you end up going to college?
But, yeah, I went to college, went to Missouri Valley for a little bit, and then got kicked out. And then,
for what?
And then got kicked out, then for fighting.
Who did you fight?
So it was just another wrestler. I was drunk. Just a dumb decision. Got in a fight with a wrestler who's now a teammate in Missouri, Gloria MMA and Fitness. I mean, we're good friends. We talk to each other a lot. It's just you're just drunk and you fought on campus. When you fight on campus, it doesn't matter,
Yeah.
You can fight your best friend. As a wrestler, you grow up beating each other up, and if you got mad at each other, it didn't matter. The next day, you're not going to hate each other for life. You just make a dumb decision, but you get in trouble with the school, and the school finds out you fought on campus. There's no fight policy. So I got in trouble. And then, to be honest, I went home and went to school at Maple Woods, finished out a degree there. And during that time, I started training again, training MMA to kind of hone down my energy. And then this is where I'm at now.
Nice. Now, when did you go to Vegas?
I moved to Vegas 2 years ago in March.
How come?
Buddy Dallas Browning lived out here in Vegas, and he had a home, and he asked me to come out and do a camp, and I came out to Syndicate in, November. I was doing a camp for Titan FC. We were supposed to be in, a December card. I was actually supposed to fight Cameron Olsen at that time. We came out here. I busted my butt on a training camp, and the entire card after the training camp was done. I loved the place, but the entire card got canceled. It was in December 2015-14. The entire card, 2014. The entire card was canceled and fell through. So then I got a Bellator offer, came back, did another camp, went, fought Bellator, lost in Bellator, and then just realized, I can't be home. I can't be in Kansas City. I need to be somewhere else to get hyper-focused. So he presented me with opportunity. I talked to John Wood, and then I just moved out here 2 weeks after my Bellator debut, and then came out here, and since then, it's been the best decision of my life.
Yeah, no, Syndicate's a great camp. John Wood's a great trainer. Yeah. Mike Pyle's awesome. Now, word on the street is that you've been banging Jesse Jess. Is that true?
What?
Word on the street, man. That's the wrong word.
Oh no!
What streets are you walking on?
I just made that up. But she's really hot, so I thought maybe no. All right, okay, fine. All right, didn't happen.
Nah, she's dope. She's a legit chick. Yeah. She's a funny little Aussie, but. Yeah,
do you
that's all you, my friend. Man.
No. I'm married, dude. I couldn't handle that.
I know you.
Fuck that.
You linked up. You locked up the marriage like a couple months ago, man.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Man.
What about you? You have a girlfriend?
The best.
What about you? You have a girlfriend? You married?
No, don't have none of that. I'm just a single man in Vegas.
Oh man. Are you still working at Top Golf?
Top Golf, yeah, man. Still working there. I work Friday. I work every weekend, which it kind of sucks because, you know, sometimes the fights will be happening and I'm sitting there watching whoever's on the screen, and then I get someone who's like, can I get a refill on my Coke? No, man, you can't get a refill. Wait till the intermission, please. Wait till the period's over. I'm thirsty. All right.
That's hilarious.
I never get to watch them.
That's hilarious.
When are you guys going to come up? When are you guys going to come up and hang out with us at Top Golf?
I would love to come. Are you kidding? I don't even play golf, but I would definitely go. I'll definitely be there in July. I think the MMA awards are that week, and then I'm doing shows. I'm going to the fights. It's going to be a great week. I'm gonna come support you. So
let's do it.
So do you have your career mapped out? Like, do you have like a three fight goal to get to the title, or a five fight goal, or?
Fuck no, I don't have nothing mapped out, man. I have three fights on my contract. This is my second fight on my contract. Once I finish out this contract, then pretty much I'm just going to go for the gold, man. I'll just jump in and, you know, jump in head first. Like, I don't really care who I fight. I don't care who's in the lineup, man. I'm just going for it all because, I mean, no matter what, everyone's tough in a fight. Doesn't matter if you fight, you know, the best in the world or if you fight somebody that doesn't have a ranking, they're still a tough fight. So I'm just going in there, going to build my brand, build my name, build my comfortability, and the next thing you know, I'm going to be sitting there fighting for the belt, holding it in the air, letting everyone know I did it.
I believe it, man. You hit so hard. And you're good everywhere. And you got good training, you're focused. You don't do drugs, right? Or just most drugs?
No.
No.
I gave that up.
Really? What drugs were you doing?
Say what?
What drugs were you doing?
Everybody smoked weed. That's it.
And you gave that up?
Yeah, I quit. I quit smoking, I quit drinking.
Nice.
I had to.
Yeah, you got
man,
it.
Man, I mean, everybody else can. There's people that people can drink. They can fight and drink. They can smoke weed and drink. They can smoke weed and talk to people. That's fine. If I smoke, man, I'm too into my own head, man. I contemplate every little decision that I've ever created. So that's why there's no need for any of that.
Did you get that night that you won the contender? Did you get any ass, any chicks?
Oh, it's a fun night for sure, man. It was a fun night. It's been a fun ride for sure.
And then Canada, when you were in Canada, come on, Canadian girls are the best.
Canadians, they love you. They definitely love you, and they love beards.
Oh man,
that's one thing. Even the guys are coming up to me. Can I touch your beard? I'm like, no, dude. Like, what is going on?
That's awesome. Well, listen, Julian Marquez, man, there are people out there that they all of a sudden become really big and they stop talking to me. Okay. You better not be that person. All right.
I'll come to your show during fight week. Well, I mean, if you have one after fight week, you got to let me get my fight in. I don't think I could show up into a bar cutting weight.
No, I'll do it after. Don't worry. I have a show till Sunday night. So I think your fight's on Friday.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Let's do it.
I support you. Thanks for being on the podcast. You're a great, humble guy. Keep getting pussy. And good work, man.
I will.
Good work.
Thank you, brother. You guys have a good one. All right.
Thanks, brother. All right. That was Julian Marquez.
That's cool, dude.
Oh, the coolest.
So I got like a list of 10 new fights that have been made
since the podcast started.
No, over the course of like the past week.
Let's hear about it.
All right, we'll go over them. First one is Clay Guida versus Bobby Green for UFC 225.
Good fight. I think I like Clay in that fight. I don't think Bobby can deal with Clay's pressure.
Up next, we got Yancy Medeiros versus Mike Perry.
Oh, tough fight for Yancy, but I think he's going to get the win. Yancy's got to just avoid that right hand.
Yeah.
Take it to the ground.
That's for UFC 226.
Be smart. You can't get into war with Mike Perry. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah. I just want to duke it out, which is entertaining to watch.
Oh, this is the best. Yeah, of course.
This one I'm kind of nervous for. Uriah Hall versus Paulo Costa.
Ooh.
That giant Brazilian dude who looks like Superman.
Oh, the guy that beat Hendricks? Not that guy. That guy.
Yeah.
Fuck. I got Uriah Hall. Fuck it. Uriah Hall. As long as he's not at the club 2 days before.
All right. David Taymor, who's a savage, versus Don Madge.
I don't know either of those guys, so I'm picking...
David Taymor, he beat...
Oh, he's the guy that wanted to fight Cody Garbrandt, right?
Yeah, he beat Lando Venata.
Yeah.
He's,
I like Taymor.
He's good, dude.
Yeah, I like Taymor in that fight. I don't know John Vag.
Me neither. Vag. Stefan Struve versus Marcin Tybura.
Oh, I hope Struve wins. Tybura's pretty good, though, but he looked terrible against Arlovski. I got Struve.
All right. I'll probably go with Struve again, too. Kat Zinganu versus Marion Renault.
Oh, I like both these girls. Kat came to my show.
And Marion called in the podcast.
Marion's a friend of mine.
She called the podcast.
Yeah, she's a friend of the podcast. I don't know who. I think they're both good fighters. Man, Kat did not look that great in her last fight, but she fought a savage.
It's a good-ass matchup,
Marion's
dude.
Been looking better. Mm. I mean, she tapped Sarah McMahon. But they're both hot.
That's the big deciding
both
factor.
Sexy. I think if I was a single man, whoever said yes first wins in that one, I would try for either of them.
So it'd be a draw.
I think in this, I don't know. It's a hard one to pick. I'm gonna lie to each of them and say that I got them if I get them on the podcast.
Just don't say it on the podcast.
No, yeah,
you can tell me after.
Thank you.
I got Marion in that one.
Okay, I think we're gonna have Kat on next week. I'll tell her.
Oh, this is the big one right here.
Let's hear it.
Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis.
Ooh! By the way, Lewis said he wants to fight Greg Hardy. He said he enjoys beating up wife beaters. That's what he told TMZ.
I love Derek Lewis.
I like Ngannou in this fight. I think Ngannou's gonna knock.
Really?
I do. Well, I think Lewis is. I don't know. I think Ngannou's. I mean, look how good he was looking before that Stipe fight. And Lewis is no Stipe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think that Ngannou hits harder. As hard as Lewis hits, and I sat cage side when Lewis was fighting, and he hits fucking hard. Ngannou hits harder. He's a better athlete. He's got better cardio. Lewis fades. He kind of quit in that one fight against Mark Hunt. I got Ngannou.
This is also a 3-round fight. This is for UFC 226.
Yeah, I'm excited for that fight.
Whew, I have no idea what's going to happen,
that's
dude.
That's like, holy shit.
And then also for UFC 226 might be the best card of the year.
What is it? Tell me.
Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega.
Ooh, wow. Fuck, that's a good fight.
I don't know.
I'm picking Holloway because he's a friend. He's in my phone. But after Ortega's last fight against Edgar, I mean, Jesus. But I like Holloway.
I like him too.
All right, is that it?
There's two more. These are the most recent ones.
All right, let's hear it.
Volkan Ozdemir versus Shogun Hua.
Ooh, Volkan.
Volkan. And then the last one, the most recent fight made, is Glover Teixeira versus Ayer Latifi.
Glover Teixeira versus Latifi? Glover. Latifi shows up sometimes, and other times he doesn't. Glover always shows up. I like Glover. He looked great in his last fight, too. I like Glover in that fight.
Latifi, he choked out Ovince in a standing guillotine, right?
He did look really good, but that's another guy who, like, you never know what OSP you're going to get.
I'll go with Latifi. That's it, though.
All right. So what do you have coming up?
I got some good things in the works for Ween Dog, the Ween Dog Nation. Everybody, yeah. I want everybody right now to go to the Ween Dog Nation Facebook group on Facebook. Go follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Ween Dog. Go to Twitch, twitch.tv/WeenDog. I'm streaming the UFC 3 video game a lot.
Nice.
And that's it, dude.
Okay, listen, people. If you're on Amazon, if you buy stuff off Amazon, which I know you all do, go to AdamHunter.com first. There's two Amazon banners. Click on that. Then buy whatever you want, okay? It helps me, helps the podcast. Also, pick up an MMA Roasted versus Everybody t-shirt. I've been getting them. People have been ordering them left and right. And I have to go to the post office. I don't mind it. I love spreading the love. And then post a picture of it, and I'll retweet you wearing it. the kid that I sent over last week. Yeah, so a lot of them. I just got one to this other dude who always makes fun of my forehead. Every single time I go on Periscope or Instagram, he actually ordered a shirt, a little fucker. But his nose is like, he can inhale all Jones's cocaine from another room. That's how fucking big his fucking nose is. But he's a good kid. He happens to be a good kid. And he just ordered one. Jero Espinosa. See, I'll even give you a call out.
Love you, Jared.
All right. Love you too, Jero. All right. Jero? So, this week I'm in Harvey's, Portland, Oregon. This Thursday to Sunday. Next month, and then May 3rd to the 6th, I'm in Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club, and in Minneapolis, May 9th to the 13th, Minneapolis. And then I am in, that's where I'm going to be at. And then I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, June 27th to the 29th, or to the 31st, actually. And then I'm at the Stratosphere the following in July, July 1st to July 8th, Stratosphere in Las Vegas. That's during UFC fight week. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Nick Lentz, Julian Marquez. Thank you, Ween Dog. Hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening.